long weekend with 2 weeks away, you know, in the past. I don't know if there's a mix-up, something I don't know about. Maybe it's just a time shift. Maybe there's a few people forgot to adjust their watches. But it's not about numbers. It's about us being here this morning and having fellowship together. And I'm going to put someone a bit on the spot. Bertie, can you just stand up and say hello to me, please? If you hear what Bertie's voice is sounding like, mine sounded like that on Friday. Friday evening, I thought I'm not going to... I didn't know how I'm going to preach because I got a bit of sinus and it went here and into my voice, and I sound like when I was 13 again, the voice going, crackling, wasn't very reliable. So I'm going to take probably a bit more sips of water this morning just to get through the sermon, because I really do have a frog in here, but that's not a problem. We can enjoy together, church. So I want you quickly, we're not that much, just stand up quickly and greet someone next to you and say to them, it's great to be in the house of God. Okay, guys, so just one or two quick announcements. As you all know, time has shifted. Everything's a bit earlier now, although it's the same time. Morning, Brian. Nice to have you as well. Church will still, up to the end of year, next year it will be 9:30. So you can maybe just remind your friends and cell small group members that everything stayed the same, even though the time has changed. Then just from my side, I'll refer to that once or twice during my sermon as well. But I really want you guys, it's not just for the married people with children. Anyone is welcome next week when Pastor Rolf and his wife Sonia will be here. He's a very well-read man, not just experienced father, but he's one of those people that have read so many books on parenting, and really, he really knows what he's talking about. I'm just going to touch on that a little bit this morning, but I know he's got a lot more experience. So I want to invite all of you, those who are parents, those who want to be parents one day, maybe those of you who have been parents for a while, please come and join us next Saturday morning, and just let the office know. I think there's a paper at the back where you can also just register and write your name on. We're really looking forward to receive them here and to really tap into their resources. And it's something they are passionate about. So all of you, you're really welcome. And then also for those, I know that there's a few people, we emailed some of you guys. There will be an opportunity for baby dedications next Sunday or afterwards. If there's any one of you who in the next weeks or months want to dedicate the baby, also those mothers sitting there in the mother's kamer, please let us know. You can, you know, there's not a, it must be on a fixed date. If you want to invite the grandfather, fathers or mothers, maybe they're visiting, we can just make the arrangements and then dedicate them. Then we also already talked about youth. There won't be youth from next week onwards. There will be youth again. And then, guys, yeah, we talked about husbands and fathers and the wives, and then a bit of the body of Christ. And this morning, I'm going to continue on something. I call it something we can't neglect. And it's really close to my heart. I'm really very busy with that in my life right now, and that's raising kids and teaching them about God and who God is. I'm me and my wife, those of you are also parents, we are God representatives. He entrusts that special calling to us to teach our kids God's ways. Now, I know some of you, who of your fathers and mothers in the house? Almost a third of you. That's great. And you will know it's a great joy to have kids. Some of you are young married, like Maurice and Carmen. I know they already adopted a puppy, and I think the puppy is still alive, Maurice. Okay? Okay, that's a good sign. And then there's others, some of you maybe just still sitting here, and you're still praying for that perfect guy on the white horse, or maybe that princess, and I pray that person will come in the right time and place in your life, and it will be a blessing. So maybe this is still a bit prophetic in advance for you guys, but listen to the heart of it. We can all, you know, it's important that the older people know that what God speaks to the young, and the young must also know what God is speaking to His church, because not all of us are just young or just married or just single. All of us because it's going to be for the benefit of his, of us all. There's almost just as much people sitting in the mother's room this morning than in church. So in 10 years' time, things are going to look good. Amen. Let's pray together this morning. Father God, we thank you for a new season, Father God, where the time has changed, Lord God, when summer is here, Lord. We can feel it outside. We can see the sun is getting hotter, Lord God, and the new leaves are starting to blossom, Lord God. And Lord, we are waiting for the rain, the summer, and we just pray for Namibia. That's a big agricultural country, Lord. A lot of people depend on that, Lord God, that you'll really bless us with good rains this summer, Father God, that the soil will prosper, Lord, and also the crops and the growth and the animals that we have, Father God. And Lord, while we are here together as your church, as your body, Lord God, as friends, as small group members, as you know, Lord, just as a family, Lord, Lord, that you'll bless our time here this morning, Father God. Thank you that we can say, Father, that it's not about being 10 or being 500 or anything, Lord God, but we just want to bring our worship to you, Father God. And this morning, Lord, it's so wonderful to be in your house, Lord God. And I pray, Father, that you'll speak to each and every one of us this morning, Lord, that your word will cut our hearts, Lord God, and that there will be good seeds that you will sow, Lord God, and that they will grow into mighty flowers, Lord God. And I pray for correction in our hearts if it's necessary this morning, Lord. And I just trust in you this morning, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, guys, as I say, friends and ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to start off by reading from Judges 2, from verse 6 to 14. Now, it's quite a long part, and it's not going to be up here this morning. There was a bit of a misunderstanding on the technical team side between me and them, but that's not too bad. The word will still be out there. So just listen. Those of you who've got Bibles, you can follow. And before I go on, I just want to say thank you to Hannes and Leanne and Lachia and Warrior for the worship. You really blessed us this morning. I really enjoyed it and appreciate it, and I'm sure the rest of you as well. So let's read together from Judges 2, from verse 6 to 14. When Joshua dismissed the people of Israel went each to his inheritance to take possession of the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works which the Lord had done for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110 years, and they buried him with the bounds of his inheritance at Timnath-Heres in the hill countryside of Ephraim, north of the mountain of Gaash. And all that the generation also were gathered to their fathers, and there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord or the work which the Lord had done for Israel. And the people of Israel did what that was evil in the sight of the Lord, and served the Baals. And they forsook the Lord, the God of their father, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. They went after other gods from the gods of people who were around them, and bowed down to them, and they provoked the Lord to anger. They forsook the Lord, and served the Baals and the Ashtoreth. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he gave them over to the plunderers, who plundered them, and sold them into the power of their enemies round and about, so that they could no longer withstand their enemies. Now this is really a sad story coming from a mighty man like Joshua. I know there's a whole new Joshua generation being birthed today. Many people prophetically call their kids also Joshua, except for the fact that it's a nice name. I believe many people do that to take their to go into a new place. Now, Joshua was this wonderful leader. He was a great man after God's heart. He led the people. He served God. And there's a whole testimony. You can read it in the book of Joshua. It's actually one of my favorite books in the Bible as well. There's so much that we can learn from him. But here, after the age of 110 years old, Joshua died. The elders also who saw the mighty works of God, they also died. And Scripture said that the new generation grew up, and they didn't know the ways of God. They didn't fear the Lord. We can see they served other gods. And at the end, we can see that those people, they provoked God to anger. And then God, Scripture said, gave them over to plunderers. You know, we saw it to their downfall. And unfortunately, we can see it in the book of Judges, such a big or long time in the history of the nation of Israel, where they served God and then they went back again. And then they served God. God maybe rose up a new judge like a Gideon or someone, and then they followed God, and the fear of the Lord came over them, and then unfortunately the people drifted again, and then God allowed for bad times to come. And maybe some of you can relate to that. Sometimes in our own lives we tend to be a little bit like that. I really trust no one of you will be like that this morning, because I believe that all of us will walk in God's ways. But this is the sad story that happened, and we saw that new generation that really reaped the bad fruits of the things that they sowed. But I believe it's not completely their fault. It's the fault of their fathers. Because the name of my sermon, I call it One Thing We Cannot Neglect. You know, it's such an important thing. And that's why I ask, how many of you are fathers or mothers in the house? Some of you are young married or will be fathers in a few years. And this is something very important, because we as a church, as a community, as believers together, we will also reap the bad fruits if we don't bring up our kids in God's ways. And that is why I really believe it's such a wonderful opportunity for those who will be here next week to receive from someone that's really, as I said, anointed and called in that area of raising kids, of disciplining kids. You know, it's a balance of loving them, and my boys are now almost 2.5 years old, and I'm learning a lot, you know, about their personalities, about love, and about disciplining them, and how the two goes together. Okay, so I want to just do, you've seen the order of how things happened, and this is our base text, but the part of scripture that we're going to use this morning, and I hope that you're going to enjoy it, and that we're all going to learn something from that. The sequence I already laid out. Now there's three lessons that I want to point out for us from this part of scripture that we can take home, and you can apply it in other parts of your life as well. And the first one is, when the knowledge of God is preserved in a community, especially by those who have personally experienced God's power, faith is nourished and obedience flourishes. Now, you know, so it's so important that we are sitting here, that we won't just assume that our kids will grow up in church and kiddies church will do the job, and maybe you'll send your children to Bible school. I think the generations before me in the school system, things were a lot more godly. There was a bigger importation from a Christian point of view in raising kids. Now today, things have changed a little bit. I spoke to someone on Friday night. He was a pastor in Great Britain for 6 years, and about the school system there, and the humanism and the secular humanism, and how things have gone a certain route there. And it's really a sad story. And if you look at the youth today there, it's not a too happy story according to him and the things I've read. So it's something many of you, you know, many of you, I believe most of you, have experienced God's love, God's power. You've done foundations. Many of you have been baptized. And you know in your own life the power of God. You know the old man. You know the new person. I know many of you quite well. And I know what God has changed in our lives. I know what God has changed in my life since 2002. And it's just by the grace of God that I can stand here this morning, because 8 years ago, that was the last thing on my mind, to be a pastor. But you know, through the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit and His guidance, we can all change. You know, God changes us so much for the better. Okay, the second thing, the point that we can learn is, if we as parents allow our children to grow up without the knowledge of God, we serve not only their ignorance and unbelief, but unfortunately the destruction as well. You know, it's something that children need. They need love, they need food, they need discipline. But it's so important that we bring them up in the ways of God. Do you guys agree with me? It's not something that we can say to ourselves, I'll give my child the option. I'll get to that a little bit later as well. And I'll let him choose when he's an adult or a teenager maybe what belief he thinks is best. And then obviously he must be accountable for that. That's not what Scripture is teaching us. And we will just now look what Scripture is telling us in many places about parents, what we should do about our kids and raising them. And then the third and the last one, it's therefore the solemn duty of all parents to teach their children about God and His saving work, so that the next generation will know God and that he will be saved. I really believe, and it's a biblical thing, that the greatest teachers, the greatest theologian that a young person ever will have is mom and dad. Not the pastor, not the, maybe if you go to the seminary or where else. Mom and dad has that awesome opportunity from a young age to impart it. And you know, now here's two things here. You can see very clearly if children have been raised in a godly home where there's fear of the Lord, where the furniture or the holiday or the computer or the television, if that things rule, you'll see it in the children's life. But if it's a family that pray together, as that saying goes, they will stay together. If mom and dad teaches from a young age, they impart, they tell, you know, you pray together and you teach your children, and you, from a young age you teach them Bible stories and how God worked and His love and everything like that, you can see a big difference. Now I know many of you, or some of you maybe, and myself in a certain sense as well, not all of us, our fathers were pastors or elders or small group facilitators or maybe people who did Bible school. So some of us did get a bit more God with our porridge and our milk when we were young, and some of us did get a bit less. But that's not the end of the world. There's this one side of the story where you maybe get a big importation, and praise God for that. But the big thing I want to encourage all of us is that if that you haven't received, maybe you're an adult now and you think, but your dad hasn't taught you how this work or that work, and you feel a bit cheated in a sense, I want to encourage you. That's not a problem. You can get everything you need, you can get from God. If you will go and ask God for advice, how to discipline your kids, how to love them, how to raise them between you and your wife, God will give you everything that you need. Amen? Amen. Okay, so let's look at a, let's say, a biblical foundation, what God says to us as parents, those of you who are parents, or parents-to-be, about raising kids. Let's go to the first part of Scripture. We'll be in Deuteronomy 6, from verse 4 to 9. And that's one of the greatest commandments that all the Jews knew very well in Scripture. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. Okay? That's a commandment God gave us. It's something, it's non-negotiable. It's something we should live, we should treasure. Okay? And after that, and these words which I command you shall be upon your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children. Now the first assignment to a parent after loving God is to store the word of God in his heart and teach it to your children. Okay? So if any one of you thought maybe it's not your job, if you're a parent or if you're a parent-to-be, it is. Scripture says so. And I'm going to look at all the different places in Scripture where we can learn that. So it's something, I believe it's quite straightforward. We don't have to really go and pray too much or fast about it. This is what Scripture say. So if He says we must teach it to our kids, then that's the way it is. And you know what? It's not supposed to be a burden. I can tell you, I think it's a challenge at sometimes. Fathers, mothers in the house, is it like that? Sometimes it is a challenge. It's not always that easy. I've got two small boys. The one has got especially a strong-willed little young man, but we're working on that. I know God made him in a specific way, and we love him like he is, but I know he needs a bit more discipline maybe than his brother. I hope he's listening to me right now. I'm not sure. Oh, that's mine. I was actually talking about his brother, but okay. So I'm not talking today as a grandfather who has raised many generations of godly children. I'm talking from a biblical perspective. Me and my wife, we're still giving our best in loving our kids. But that is from Deuteronomy that we can see as a third part. Then in Deuteronomy 4 verse 9, it says, "Take heed and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget these things which your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from all your heart the days of your life. Make them known to your children and to your children's children." Now, yes, not too many grandparents, guys, but grandparents, older people, they've got a big role to play. And I think it's a bit neglected in our culture today, maybe, to go to the old and the wise, the most experienced people, I've heard older people say, when I got the opportunity to do this or that over, and maybe in your own life you will know, that we will do some certain things over. Some of you could live the past 10 years over, who of you would maybe done one or two things you would done differently? I would have. That's a few honest people. I would have done a few things differently, knowing what I know then. I also did a few stupid things, just in case you didn't know. Then let's go on to Deuteronomy 11, verse 18 and 19. You shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and you shall teach them to your children. God's design for the preservation of historical revelation is the family. Guys, families are so wonderful. It's so important that we embrace that thing. You know, when I grew up in a family, and I really love my family, my bigger, my extended family. But now that I've got a family of my own, you know, I enjoy it most on a Friday night or any night that all of us can just be at home together and spend time together, and where we can love each other and really, you know, in a sense also get to know each other, because things are different when you are just young married people like Marius and Carmen and the little puppy, and when you have two or three or four kids maybe. Things are different, you know, but it's not for the worse, it's just different. But God designed the family unit as a building block. As we've got cells or small groups in church that makes the body of Christ, so families make the building blocks of society. And you can see very clearly when family values or things like that start to deteriorate. You'll see it in society. It's a bad thing that's happening, and I believe we should really embrace it much more. Our families are special, and the family, or the extended family, here we saw that grandparents can also play a role, and that's not just to give sweets, maybe like some omas in my culture does, but to really show that we are following God and walking in His ways, that the young kids can have that example. When I work at home and I take out a hammer or a screwdriver or things like that, my boys just copy and paste what I do, you know? So the things that I do, the things that I say, the things that I believe, they will also copy from me. I think God designed them like that. You know, when a child starts to talk, he first says mama or papa or mother or father, okay? And then at a certain stage you say glass and he say glass after you. And then it's two and three and four and five words and the sentences come. But what you tell them, they tell back to you. Okay, so what you sow in them, you'll reap. Okay, so that's so exciting that we've got the opportunity. And it's really important. The ideal is not to start at the age of 16. If I don't disciple, mentor, coach, discipline my boys right now, in 10 years' time, I'm going to have two very difficult kids at home who's going to tell me how life works. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. It's going to be a disaster. Okay. Then we find in Joel 1 verse 3, we find it almost summarized how it should be. Tell your children of it, and let your children tell their children, and their children another generation. So we can see that it's not you get to know God, and then good luck to the rest, you know, to your kids and your grandkids. Kleinkinders, okay? It's something that we should teach from generation to the next. And in many families where it's happening like that, you can see the blessing. It's really wonderful. Then I'm going to take a sip of water for the voice. Let's go to the New Testament and see what we can learn from there. In Matthew 19 verse 14, Jesus rebuked the disciples when they wanted to send the kids away. And Jesus invited the small kids to come to Him. And He commended the parents for bringing the kids to them. And we can see from this example that if Jesus said the kids must come to Him, we must take our small kids, our youngsters, we must take them to Jesus as well. And you can bring them to church, teach them at home. But guys, the best place to start, this is the Word of God, spoken by Jesus, inspired by God, all the people who have written it. And this is where we can start, the Word of God. That's the foundation that we can show our kids that this is, we must be like a mirror, reflecting God to our kids. And we start from Scripture. That's the place Thank you guys at the back for helping there. That's the place where we start to disciple our kids from. We use scripture. Now there's many wonderful books that you can read. I just caution you to use your discernment. There's many theories today on how to raise kids. Make sure that if you read something like that, that it's something that's really got a biblical foundation, that it's not a, let's say, a bit to the New Age side or anything like that. Then another place in Scripture I want to read to you from is in Ephesians 6, from verse 1 to 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition, I hope I pronounced that correctly, of the Lord. I'm going to repeat that, but bring them up in the training of God. So we must train our kids. We also find in Colossians 3, verse 20, we will see that repeated, and then we can see, children, obey your parents, fathers, bring up your children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. That is the same foundation that we see in the Old Testament. It's basically repeated in the New Testament in those places where there's reference to families or how to raise kids. So from Deuteronomy, which was written probably about 3,000-4,000 years ago, up to the New Testament, we're going to have just now a look at the book of Proverbs. Nothing has changed. Raising kids in God's way is the same yesterday and today, and tomorrow it will be the same thing. You know, when times or seasons change, our clothing, our styles, many things, motor cars, the shapes change, but these things don't change. When Scripture says we must teach the things, the fear of the Lord, those things that we know about God to our children, that's the same today and tomorrow, and I suppose forever. So I conclude from these scriptures that it's God's will that the family be preserved and that parents assume primary responsibility under God for getting biblical and doctrinal knowledge into the heads and the hearts of their children. Let's in the heads, or the heads and in the hearts, in both ways. Now we're just going to look a bit about that. Now some of you, hopefully none of you, but it can be, might think this morning, but isn't that wrong? Mustn't I? Because I can promise you, we can go to many cultures, especially in the Western world, especially in Europe, but nowadays in South Africa and Namibia as well. And you can ask the kids or the parents about this topic, and they will tell you many times that I think it's the best if I leave my child to discover in his or own way what belief, what faith is the best for him or her. I'm not supposed maybe to influence my kid. He must grow into it, and he must have a free will to discover that. Now that is rubbish. It's unbiblical, it's wrong. But I promise you, that's in many cultures, in many parts of the world, that's how people will think. And I'm going to just have a quick look at that, just to almost, not to give the perspective, but to not for us to fall into that trap. Maybe you're thinking, but I haven't done Bible school, or maybe I'm not such a well-equipped parent. Maybe I should leave it to the school, or to the grandparents, or the pastor, or the youth, or some other place. But guys, we're going to make a big mistake if you pass that responsibility of telling your kids about God, if you pass it onto someone else. It's important that we do it. Now, in discipling someone, say for instance you're a mature Christian, and you take a younger person under your wing, and you teach that person how to read Scripture, why do we stand when we worship, how do you pray, maybe what's fasting about, there's many things. Then you impart things to that person. You teach that person the things you've already learned from someone. And that's the same things that we as parents, we must do. And for those of you that's going to be parents about. So the first point is that this is contrary to anything in Scripture. I've given you a few examples, there is more, but it's our role and not those. You can't tell yourself, maybe, I'll give my child the opportunity to watch or to learn from himself. You're going to make a big mistake, and unfortunately, I believe God is going to hold us responsible for that one day if you do have the knowledge and you neglect it. Because Scripture said we must teach our kids. Then the second one, it is impossible not to teach your children about God. Because if you're not going to teach your children to God, then you're teaching your children something about God. Do you agree? If you don't talk in your household or your family, if you don't talk about God, someone else will talk to them about God. Like someone, a week or two, I read an article and the person said, or the context where it was in, someone asked that person a question about God and he said, so which God are you talking about? You know, the Hindus, they've got something like 33 million gods. I've been to Nepal, I've seen that culture, and I mean, it's a disaster. They worship monkeys and locusts and many stupid things that can really not be God to them. But that's like a generational curse. It's a stronghold that come from one generation to another, and it's alive and kicking. So if you in your household, you talk more about sport or maybe your hobbies or your work or your own achievements or anything like that, and you do not talk about God, then you're teaching your children as well something. Do you agree? So we have to start off by teaching something, because teaching nothing is teaching something. Sounds a bit like contrary, but I hope you understand what I mean. Then the third one, and it's simply unloving and cruel to give your children or to not give them what they need most. Many times when we talk about evangelism or things like that, it's important to give someone a loaf of bread or maybe something like that when he's hungry. But the most important thing that we can give someone is Jesus Christ. Because you might die of hunger, but if you die without Jesus, you've got a bigger problem. Dying without Christ is the worst thing I imagine anyone can go through. Because many guys are strong and strong-willed until things really get tough. Maybe when they get blind or sick, and then you see in your own strength, you actually can't do that much. And I believe most of us are relatively young, many of us are older than 50, so maybe most of us don't think about dying tomorrow. Maybe when you're 87, 92, you'll think more about that. But I believe that day when all of us come and we know that the end is near, then you're not going to be afraid. Yes, you maybe may think of missing loved ones or things like that. But to know you've got a relationship with Christ and to know that you know that you know where you stand with God, then you're going to die with peace in your heart. I'm sure of that. Amen. Then two things that might come to our minds. As I said, maybe not all of you guys have done Bible school or read the Bible from the beginning to the end, or maybe not all of us understand the rapture or eternal judgment or many difficult things in Scripture. But you do not have to worry about that. You can learn as you go. Maybe you think your children are maybe a step ahead and you started too late or something, but I want to encourage you, you younger people, you guys that are young married or still to be married, to feed yourself with the Word of God, that when that day come, when you start to be a pastor and a teacher, a father to your kids, that you are a step ahead of your kids. So if you're already in that situation and you think you need to know more than you do know to raise your kids godly, I want to encourage you this morning to just stay one step ahead. Trust God today for a small word for your kids tomorrow. Open Scripture tonight. Go and read a little. There's so many wonderful parables that we can read and get yourself a Bible commentary or an explanation like New Spiritual Bible that gives you a little summary about the history or a context or something. And then you teach your kids. Tell them about the story of the mustard seed or the fisherman or many of those things. Kids love stories. And I think the reason why Jesus used parables is maybe it's easier to remember a story. I remember when my dad told me stories. You know, I still remember many of them today. Then just quoting them a scripture. If you tell them a story and you can maybe, I don't want to say add a character, but apply it to your own home, you know. And the kids will understand that and they will remember that. The second reason, the second thing we can learn is if you think you don't have adequate information, maybe you sit there and your kids ask you, Mommy or Daddy, where does angels come from? How old do they get? Sure, I'm not sure. Do you know the answer to that? You can go, there's a wonderful opportunity to teach your children something like humility. Maybe your kids are 10 or 12 years old. About a month ago, I did Foundation 1 and 2 with about 8 to 10 high school kids from RTS. And the questions they asked me, they were mostly 15, 16, 17 years old. The questions they asked me, it really made me stand on my toes because I really had to focus. It was great questions that they asked. Fortunately, I could give most of the answers. A good tactic also that you can learn is remember also when you have one or more kids or someone asks you a question, maybe the professional people will also use that tactic, and you don't know the answer to something. Say for instance, Hannes is asking me something now, how does that work? And I'm not completely sure. Then ask the people back, so what do you think about that? And then in that 10 seconds that you have time, you trust the Holy Spirit to give you a revelation. Okay, just to give you a bit of time to think. But I'm actually being serious now. If you come to a place and your kids start to ask you questions that you don't know the answers to, teach them humility. Tell them, do you know what, my son? I don't exactly know. But let's go to the church or to a friend or to someone and ask them exactly how the rapture is going to work. Or find a book on that. And then you teach them that you aren't perfect, that you do make mistakes, that you don't know everything, and that they can learn from you. That's okay, in a sense. Okay? And then you go with them, and you say, let's read together and find the answer. There's many things that we can teach our kids. You don't have to be perfect. I'm not a perfect father, I promise you. Okay? But the thing is, you can use this situation for the benefit of your kids as well. Maybe if something in your home happened, and you know it's wrong, then you can tell, go to your kids afterwards and say, maybe, for instance, the way I spoke to your mother now, that was wrong. I made a mistake and I'm sorry for that. Maybe I used a bad word or kicked a dog or whatever. And then you tell your kids how things work, that you repent and you made a mistake. So there's many opportunities, I believe, for us as parents to grow, but also to teach our children through our mistakes we make. Amen. Then I'm going to focus on something, and I really know that Pastor Rolf next week will go and talk a lot more on this topic. But the next thing, you might think that, my kids won't sit still. Now, always in my sermons, I try to do research and read many things, and I read an article that was written in 1982 about a pastor and his wife. Now, that's almost 30 years ago. Who of you have been born in 1982? Who was born in the year 1982? No one. Okay, I was born then. I was 3 years old, and they write the article, and he said, as they as pastor couple go and visit many churches, it's really disturbing for them to see how children actually rule their parents in a way. Now, this was written 30 years ago. How they rebel. And for some reason, and they question it, it's almost as if the parents has got an expectation that kids should maybe just obey partially, or that it's actually normal for them not to misbehave, but that's just a 50-50 chance whether they're going to obey their parents or not. Now, that's more than a generation ago. And I believe if they were to speak to us this morning, things might have got worse. Many kids, you will hear that it's just a difficult kid and I can't handle them and things like that. As I said, you get many different personalities. Some of them are more challenging than others, but there isn't something like an excuse for us to say, but my kid never wanted. If you're going to stand one day before God and he's going to ask you about, raising your kids, loving your family, and you tell God, but this young man, he never wanted to sit still and listen. That's not an excuse. That's not going to work. Maybe those of you, most guys that have young girls, they say they are easier. Okay, my little daughter is still small, so I'm not really disciplining her yet. But maybe especially the boys, we might think, but they're full of energy and they never want to sit still. Then, let's see what Scripture tells us about discipline, because that is just as important for us. And this is things I'm digging into right now in this time of my life, because I know I need to. I believe God's word in this situation is that we as parents need to recover the expectation that our children obey us, and that in love and humility we administer firm and just discipline to secure obedience. We must, it's our role to teach that to them. Now, since the book of Proverbs were written, nothing has changed in the way we're supposed to raise our kids. Circumstances, yes, there's cell phones, computers and cars and many things in the natural change. But their principles, God's word, is just such so effective that it was those days, then it's for now. It's just as important. Now, I'm going to read you a few scriptures, and many times, just on Friday night when that pastor was there, I told my one boy again, please behave, I don't want to give you hiding in front of the people. Now, sometimes, kids must obey in public and at home. It's not just one or the other. It's maybe more difficult, because if my boy were to throw a tantrum here right now and I think maybe I must give him a hiding, then I might think in my heart, sure, what will the people think? Maybe I'm a dragon of a father. But the fact is, it's because I love that boy that I must teach him to obey me as I obey God. I must teach him that principle. Now, in Proverbs 13, verse 24, and Proverbs we know as a book that gives us a lot of wisdom in life. Just once again, if you weren't brought up in this ways that I'm going to describe right now, maybe you didn't have a father, or he was an absent father, or a passive father, it's not the end of the world. You, as a father or a father-to-be, can go and learn these things, and we can get it right. Proverbs 13, 24. He who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. It's such a powerful scripture. He who spares the rod hates his son. Okay, now when you're 2 years old or 3 or 4 years old, many times when my dad used to give me discipline, I thought, now he hates me or something. And I'm not going to go into that. I'm going to leave it to Rolf and those guys. But there's ways that you can really abuse or beat your children. You don't punish them because you're fed up or you're tired or you are angry or had a bad day at work or you feel like kicking him or whatever. That's not the way. There's a certain way to give quick discipline and then to love your child, to hold him and to teach them afterwards what they did wrong and to talk to them. I'm getting to a place, and it's very exciting to me, where I'm actually telling especially little Alvin afterwards to say sorry, Daddy. Because he must learn that if he's not obedient to me, he's rebelling to God. Because I'm the authority over him. In Proverbs 19, verse 18, discipline your son while there is hope. Do not set your heart on his destruction. Okay? So don't start to discipline your kids at 16. They're going to beat you back. You must start when they are young, when there are still hope. We should bend the little tree while it can still bend. You don't try to, those of you from the north, you don't try to bend the big 200-year-old Krumatar tree or Omborobongo, a leadwood. You're going to break your arm, okay? You do it when the tree is still young. In Proverbs 22, verse 15, folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it from him. Now, I can promise you, I've seen it now in my own kids. And remember, I'm a pastor, guys. My kids were born in sin. That's the way they're brought up. I should bring them on the right track. If I just leave them in their own ways, they'll destruct, they'll kill and destroy. That's what the devil wants them to do. And at the end, they'll probably hurt themselves. It's just, I don't know, especially boys, they just try to break things. Or I don't know how it works. Hannes is laughing, maybe he was a boy like that. But he's a great brother right now. But that's really important. Proverbs 23, verse 13 and 14. Do not withhold discipline from your child. If you strike him with the rod, he will not die. If you strike him with the rod, you will save his soul from Sheol. Now that's from hell. Now, many people today in society, across the spectrum, especially those thinking a bit more new age, will tell you, no, that's not wrong. You're teaching your children violence. You know, many things you should maybe send them to their room, and then after they've calmed down, you talk to them. That's not what Scripture tells us. And I believe this because it's the Word of God and it's been proven. You can see the fruits of righteousness in the child's lives that were risen in this way. It's something exciting. Now this morning I went and it says, okay, I just want to read it again. Do not withhold discipline from your child. If you strike him with the rod, he will not die. Okay, so do not strike your kid with the rod that he dies. Now I went to the dictionary and I looked at four translations, and the one said, the Amplified Bible said, a rod is a reed-like rod. The New King James, the American Standard Version, and the NIV talked about a rod. Now what's a rod? It says it's a cane, a staff, a stick, or a baton, and a few other words. Okay? So there are certain things that's appropriate. You don't throw the kid with a pot or open the boerboel's cage or things like that. There are certain ways to discipline your kids. It says, do not withhold it from your kids, but it also says, and that's our responsibility because God will hold us responsible for that, give the discipline in that sense that the kid won't die, but it's the right thing to do. Use the rod, that you will save him from hell. And this is something, there's a small window of opportunity that we must use as parents to discipline our kids. I'm not talking out of experience now, but I think Rolf will touch on that next week again. There's certain ages where you must get that little guy online, in line. When you've missed that, it's going to be more difficult. And as I said, my boys are now 2.5 years, and I know I'm now in the crucial part. From here onwards, we have to be consistent, and we have to do it in the right way. In Proverbs 29, 15 and 17, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. Discipline your son, and he will give you rest. He will give the light to your heart. So there's the promise, there's the wonderful part. If you do it right, then that's what you're going to reap. So guys, this is something we started off by saying. We can see from Scripture that it's us as parents that from one generation to the next, we should teach our children the ways of God. And then I've talked about a few things, and I especially brought in this part because there's many things I think imparting to your children, teaching them how to do things, to tie a shoelace and things like that. But discipline, it goes with love. You know, my kids are still small and I don't get any satisfaction from giving them a hiding, except for the fact that I'm doing God's will and I know I'm saving them from hell. It's not nice to give a hiding to your kids, but it's part of loving them. Do you agree with me? Okay, that's really important to us. Then I'm going to close this morning. So the first thing is, our parents, we must ponder how seriously close the connection is between teaching your children about God and teaching them to obey you as God's representative over them. I can't say that too much, that we must know every day, every night, that while we are living, you know, there was a stage in my life that I could come home and maybe just tell my wife how stupid that person is or what. But did you notice, if you yell at your kids, they will yell at other people as well. If you, it's like that sowing and reaping principle. The things that you do at home, you know what, your kids, those of you who've got a bit bigger kids than mine, they'll embarrass you in public. It happened to me now once. If you do things at home or say things, they will tell it to other people and you'll have a red face. So you don't want your kids, you don't want them when they are teenagers, you don't want them then to embarrass you. That previous scripture said, discipline your son and he will give you a rest. He will give delight to your heart. Now I think it's the most satisfying thing to the older person of 50, 60, 70 years when you can see your children excelling in life, walking in the ways of God, being blessed, and teaching those things to your grandchildren. If I'm one day 70 years old and I can see Gustav Alwyn and Ulrike teaching, you know, living the Word of God, preaching the Word of God in their houses, then I will be delighted. I'll be a happy old man to see that blessing goes from generation to generation. So, the heart of the sermon this morning is for those of us that are parents and parents-to-be, guys, it's a privilege to have kids, and it's something, it's our responsibility. We can't shift it to anyone else. I want to end off with Proverbs 23 from verse 24 to 5. And that is because in the context of, I believe, our kids' salvation is in a big, they must make that decision, but it's in the balance. And we've got a big part to play in this. Proverbs 23 verse 24 to 5. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begets a wise child shall have joy in him. Your father and your mother shall be glad, and she who bore you shall rejoice. And that's what I'm going to end off with. So I want to encourage you as a church, as a family group, that we encourage each other, that we pray for each other, that we help each other, that we maybe ask each other, how do you do this? That we talk to each other about this wonderful opportunity. Next Sunday when the school has started, there's going to be like normally 30, 40 kids going to sit here. Some of you are involved with the youth. And you know what I really enjoy about those young people? Are how open they are. How open they are to receive from God. It's just amazing. I know Fiona, you've been in the kids ministry as well. And it's challenging, but it's rewarding. She will tell you guys that. And to work with young people, it's a blessing. They surprise you so many times. They challenge you so many times. But you know what? They are the adults of tomorrow. They are the ministers, the presidents, the teachers, the policemen, the doctors of tomorrow. And if those guys and girls, if they walk in God's way, you know, we're not going to change society from the government, from upside down. We need to do it from the upside, you know? Do you agree? We must do it from our families. It should start there, that by the time that kids get into those places of responsibility, that they go full out for God. You know, that's exciting. Amen. Father God, we want to thank you this morning for your word, Lord, for scripture, Father God. We thank you for men like Joshua, Lord God, that walked in your ways, Lord. Joshua learned from Moses, Father God, and we know, we can see in scripture that after him, something went wrong, Lord God. The next generation didn't fear you, Lord God. They worship other gods, false gods, Lord God. And we see that they came to a fall, Father God. They came to a bad place, Father God. And Lord, we want to ask, Lord God, this morning that you'll give us wisdom, that you'll give us strength, the courage, the knowledge, Lord God, that your spirit will, in your Lord, that you will help us to impart to our kids, Lord God. And Father, there are so many fatherless kids in this generation, Father. And Lord, some of us are fathers and mothers, Lord, and some of us are fathers and mothers to be, Lord, and some of us are still young, married, or single people, Father. But in our church, Lord God, we've got from young men spiritually to young, to older men and more mature people, Father. And I pray, Lord God, that corporately, as a family, as your family in church as well, Lord God, that you lay it in our hearts how to love, how to father, how to disciple, how to impart, how to encourage and to rebuke, Lord God. Thank you for your word that is so clear, Lord, that it's our parents' responsibility to teach you, Lord God, that we represent you, Lord God. And I pray, Father, that you'll strengthen our hands and our hearts, Lord God, to never to send our kids to another place, Lord God, to receive from you, but that we will gladly take up that calling of ours, Lord God, in loving our children, Father God. And Father, that when we grow older, Lord God, that we will see that our children is making the right decisions, that they are walking with you, Lord God, that they will go and do the great commission, Father God, and the great commandment, that they will love you as their first love, Lord God. You said in scripture, we saw this morning, Lord, that we should really walk in your ways and love you, Father God. And after that, you said, Lord, and teach it to our children, Father. And I pray, Lord God, in our church, Lord God, that us as fathers and mothers and fathers to be, Lord God, that we will embrace it, Lord God. And I pray, Lord God, for all our friends that is not here this morning. Many of them are on holiday or in South Africa or other places, Father God. And I pray for them as well that they'll drive safely, Lord God. And next week when we come together again, Lord God, that we can feel, Father, that we are brothers and sisters in Christ as well. That we form a family together as well, Father God. And Lord, we worship you, Lord God. I bring every family represented here this morning before you, Lord God. I pray for the strong men, for the husbands, Father God, to hear your voice clearly, Father, to make the right decisions where we make the decisions, Lord God, and for the women, for the ladies, for the wives, Lord God, that you'll bless them, Lord God, where some of them work or some of them are keeping the house, Father God, that you'll anoint the work of their hands, Father, and that in our church, Father God, that people will know, Lord, that it's our hearts to be families, Lord, to live as family units, Father God. I pray it in the name of Jesus, Lord. Amen. Okay, guys, Hannes, you and your team, you can come to the front. We are going to praise and worship now. We're going to give thanks to God. If there's any one of you, while we are worshiping, if you feel this morning you need prayer, maybe it's related to your family, to being a parent, raising kids, or anything else, I will be in the front. Please come. I would like to pray with you if there's any prayer needs. For those of you, the rest of you, you can just worship together. We can enjoy it now. We're going to give our worship to God. And then afterwards at the back, there's coffee and something to drink. I invite you to fellowship with us together. And then you must really enjoy the rest of your Sunday. It's only 11 o'clock right now, so there's still a long Sunday ahead. Rest, enjoy the day, and I'm looking forward to see you next week. Amen.